Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
One of the most exquisitely beautiful and gentle YouTube videos that I have ever seen can be found if you Google French nurse washing baby. A good friend of mine who is a midwife back in Virginia had sent me this video when Charlie was young. And it is absolutely breathtaking. All you see are two hands and this hours-old infant floating in a sink. And this nurse is holding the skull of this baby in one of her hands and gently caressing his head, slowly lowering his body until only his little nostrils and mouth are above. And the sense of peace and home on this little baby's entire being brings tears to your eyes. To see this child so profoundly relaxed and the incredibly tender touch of this nurse. And at one point you see the baby begin to move a little onto his side and she just gently tilts her hand with him. The whole time he's just floating in the water. In one of the next scenes, she's turned her hand so his skull is cradled and again, just his mouth and his nose are above the water and his entire body is splayed out, fully relaxed. It is the most mysterious thing that watching a 3-minute video about a baby getting his first bath can be so exquisitely tender and opening. There is not even the tiniest part of this little guy that's resisting being bathed. There is no part of him that has pride or ego attached to the care that this nurse is giving him. It's incredible how quickly we as human beings lose that ability to just melt into the hands of another person and allow them to care for us. You know, by age 4, for example, resistance around bath time itself becomes incredible. Or the I do it myself phase. Of course we want our children to gain confidence. We want them to have their own skills. But how can we as human beings simultaneously gain the skills that we need to move through the world and retain this ability to be so vulnerable that you would float naked in a bath of water in somebody else's hands? It is so incredibly difficult for most of us to contemplate even a fraction of that kind of care. How many of you would let me come over to your house tonight and see the state of your laundry room? Even something like our houses, we can feel so vulnerable. You know, sometimes somebody will say, oh, you know, I dropped something off in the rectory for you, and I think, oh my. Oh my. So, I mean, we all know that we live in our houses, so why do I have that, like, instantaneous, what did they see? What did I leave out? What was all over the kitchen floor? You know, we have those places in our lives where we just want to close off and shut down, where we don't even know how to ask for care, let alone receive it when it comes to us. When Peter resists having his feet washed by Jesus, there are lots of different complications behind this particular story. No, we all assumed that washing feet after a dusty journey would have been a really common thing that would have happened when Jesus and his disciples arrived for a meal, and that's absolutely true. But you would have washed your own feet, most likely. Or perhaps there was a servant who would have done it for you. But you most definitely would not have turned to your friends or your teacher and said, hey, would you wash my feet? They got a little dusty on the walk over here. And even when you think about Jesus, or if I, you know, took off this fancy chasuble and tied a dish rag around my waist right now, what a weird thing that would be in the context of where we're standing. You know, towels were used by women for cleaning, for drying dishes, for bathing children, for washing feet. They were most definitely not tied around the waist of teachers who were stripped of their outer garments. So you can somewhat understand why Peter was really confused when Jesus is offering to do something that was not customary in washing somebody else's feet and was assuming the role of women, to be truthful. Very, very challenging for Peter. So it's no wonder that the poor guy resists. I mean, he gets such a bad rap for being so prideful that he wouldn't let Jesus wash his feet. But I think most of us, most of you tonight, might resist coming forward and having your feet washed, because it's just an unusual thing to do. My spiritual director says to me every time I talk to her, and her spiritual director, when I see him in retreat, says to me, Libby, unless you can become like a child, there is no place for you in the kingdom of God. We hear this all throughout the scriptures, and this is an excellent example where we as an adult, we can get so hung up in, my feet are ugly, they have toe lint on them, I haven't washed them, I'm ticklish, I can't let a stranger touch my feet, that's really weird and creepy and unsanitary. And, you know, there's all sorts of excuses that we come up with as adults for why we don't open ourselves and make ourselves vulnerable. The foot washing tonight is actually a very simple and beautiful act. Last year, Henry washed my feet for me, and it was amazing. The gentleness and the kindness of another person touching your feet. I think one of the most powerful things about this service is doing something that is so outside our normal everyday routines, to intentionally open ourselves to the Lord. When we sit down and take off our socks and shoes and have that horrible grade school moment when you wonder if anybody's going to come forward and wash your feet for you, are you going to get picked for the team? there's a vulnerability, an openness, a waiting to see what happens. That can be a model for how we live in the rest of our lives. When you try something different in a liturgical context like this, it can empower us then to consider opening to receive care in another area of our life. To turn to somebody and say, you know, I'm really confused about this financial stuff. Will you please teach me? Or, John Mural, will you please teach me how to sing? There are all sorts of different ways that we can open our hearts, open our lives, take off our shoes, make ourselves available to relax into the hands of other people. So I invite you to contemplate, if you were not planning to come forward to have your feet washed tonight, I invite you to consider trying it. We'll bring a chair to the front. We have basins and the water. And we'll simply take turns. You don't need to come up with a partner. You just line up and you sit down, and the person behind you in line will wash your feet. If you do choose to come forward, it's very helpful if you would take off your socks and shoes while you're in the pew. Just that helps save a little bit of time. So, and then you can, we have these benches off to the side where you can put them back on, since we just have one station for the foot washing, that might help expedite things a little bit. Regardless of whether you come forward or not, as the choir offers these beautiful motets to us, as we reflect on Jesus's command to love each other, as we consider how God might be asking us to open ourselves to receive that love and care in ways that is not customary for us, I hope that simply watching folks come forward will be an opportunity for you to more deeply enter into the kind of invitation that the Lord presents to us tonight. This is the foundation of all of Holy Week. When we are opening ourselves and admitting the places where we have calluses and rough places and ingrown toenails, we have the courage then to look into our souls and say, here are the places where I am greedy and I lie and I betray people. So please, accept this invitation to open yourselves to that care. Step out of the place where you find comfort and see what it feels like to allow another person to hold you with such gentleness and tenderness, whose sole purpose is to bring you a moment of peace. Amen.